Hi, I'm Sam.
I'm Callum.
And one of us is born.
This week, we're discussing Mulan 2.
From the Academy Award-nominated motion picture, you'll always remember the courage, the honor.
You have saved us all.
The triumph. Now, her legacy continues.
It is a privilege to meet the hero of China.
Walt Disney Pictures presents Mulan 2, an all-new movie.
The spirits tell me Shang will propose to Mulan. She said yes!
About true love.
My little baby's getting married!
To share the burden, you must work together like the sun and rain.
Friendship.
You're my most trusted friend.
Oh, that did it! You know dragons are very emotional.
And a new mission.
Orders from His Majesty the Emperor.
Mongol forces are moving closer. The threat of attack is growing. You will escort 3 princesses to Qigong. They will marry Lord Qin's sons.
That will test everything she believes in.
An arranged marriage?
An alliance.
It's all right, Fa Mulan. It's our honor to serve the Emperor.
Move out!
And give her the courage to follow her heart.
Your only duty is to the Emperor.
But I have another duty to my heart. Mushu, what are you doing here?
Hey, whither thou go, I go with, girl.
Disney's Mulan 2, premiering only on Disney DVD and video, fall 2004.
This is gonna be delicious.
It's a new month, and therefore a new theme. This month, we are looking at unnecessary sequels, and we're starting off with Mulan 2. I wonder if a really, really good way to start this month, actually, is to probably each week talk about why we think, or why we think, you know, that the previous ones, like, should have been left alone. I think it's quite obvious why this one should have been left alone and didn't need a second one. But, like, what's your initial reaction to that? Why should Mulan 1 have been a standalone film?
She's already saved China. The stakes have never been higher. There's nothing you could do to make that more important unless you're saving the whole planet. But no, a month later, a little bit of China's in danger again, and that's meant to be an adequate sequel. And also, Mulan's the greatest film made ever, so why would you touch that?
Yeah, well, I mean, Disney clearly felt highly enough of it that it would make more money, so that would be why. Like, just more money, more sales, I guess. Do you remember looking forward to this at the time, or was this a surprise, or how did you encounter this the first time?
So I think what happened was we were in a shop, and it randomly I saw, oh, Mulan 1 and Mulan 2 in a bundle. And I don't know when this was. It must have been a wee while after it being released. I had no idea. And I was like, oh my God, there's a sequel, Mom. How come you didn't take me to see it in the cinema? I didn't understand the concept of shitty direct-to-DVD films at this time. I just thought, you know, every film was in the cinema, some bad, some good. And I watched it. I actually remember being horrified and disappointed as a child. I was like, really? Like this? Really? And you know, it's funny. This would actually fit in last month's theme as well, because Robin and Jodie watched this one a lot more than I did and enjoyed it, because they didn't really have that same adoration of the first Mulan. But they watched this one a lot, like the fucking, I think Robin really liked that song, the I Want to Be Like Other Girls song. Because how they sing, like Holding a Lily, because it is funny.
Yeah, it is quite funny. And I think you're right, it does feel fever dreamy in some sense. And I suppose for me, it's the fact that I watched the original quite a lot as well as a kid, and so I feel like I know these characters quite well, and seeing a lot of them behaving and saying things and doing things that don't quite match up to how I would expect them to, it does feel like it feels not right. I was about to say not real, it's not real, but you know what I mean, like it doesn't, there's something slightly off about the whole experience, ignoring the plot and ignoring the reduction in the quality of the animation and things like that. There's just something that doesn't quite sit right about it.
So bad, it actually goes against the whole messaging, the whole point of the first movie. It fucking rips it all to shreds. So I don't count this as canon. For me, this is just an optional be your dream extra. It's not part of canon. Like, it just, no.
I did read, this is maybe a bit too early in the podcast to mention this, but I was reading the other night that they were actually planning on making a third one as well. And they cancelled that plan quite early on after the release of this, which I think just as well. Like, I don't think the Fever Dream needed to continue, to be fair, so...
No, Cinderella 3 is shite, you know. Well, actually, Cinderella 2 is worse than Cinderella 3, but Cinderella 3 is still not good.
That, to me, I've seen the first one. I've never seen the second or third Cinderella. That, to me, is a bit wild that that should exist as well. Like, how do you even make that story extend? Like, it's done. I just don't get it.
That's the whole problem with all the things. I think the only sequels, like Disney sequels, I don't mind. And I'm kind of ruining this whole month, I guess, why this one is... The Lion King 2, because that's got some bangers. And the Beauty and the Beast Christmas special, because it doesn't take away from the original story. It's just like a middle story. It's like an extra chapter to the original one. Whereas this is just like, let's shit on everything you love. In fact, that's what most Disney sequels are like. Let's shit on everything you love and make them unlikable.
Yeah, I think this is maybe a little bit precious, but I kind of feel like when you can't... And this isn't actually true necessarily for Mulan 2, at least it's not entirely. But I think when you can't get back the original voice cast and when the animation style is going to change significantly enough just, you know, to save some money, I kind of feel like that in itself is a reason not to do it. Like, you could have the best story ever, but if you've not got the original cast back and if you're not going to be meeting a certain level of quality, then that should be a reason to just think, right, let's just not do this. Unless, of course, you don't care about any of that stuff, and which Disney clearly doesn't. But
see, the thing is with this one, it's weird, is because they do have most of the original cast, apart from Eddie Murphy, and which, oh, we'll get to Mushu. We'll get to him. And Miriam Margolyes from last week. We were talking about her, weren't we? Why were we talking about
her?
Yeah,
we did. It was because I mentioned her as someone who she appears, and you're like, oh, there's Miriam.
Yeah, but she was the matchmaker. I didn't know that. How weird is that?
That, yeah, I actually discovered that today as well, oddly enough. So yeah, maybe in retrospect, she wasn't. Having said that, you know, that it's a voice and not her. Like, if she'd have been on screen, that would have been entirely different.
I wouldn't have expected her to be a Chinese matchmaker. That's not who I would have cast her as.
No, definitely not. I don't think she would get cast in that role today. Probably not.
No. They did overall do a really good job in the original film of casting authentic actors, which I feel like is fair for this kind of movie. If it's a film about China, it does matter who you cast. Whereas if it was just a random action film, it doesn't matter. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I mean, to an extent, and I'm sure there's someone somewhere is going to be like, oh, that's wrong, because I feel like they did that a little bit here as well. So we do have some new voices in the cast. We've got Lucy Liu, Sandra Oh, and Lauren Tom as the princesses. And again, like, you know, they've picked actresses of like Chinese background, at least.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, Chinese American maybe, but like they've still done the right thing, at least. Yeah. In that respect, they could have very easily not done that, and, you know, they did the right thing. So cool, I guess.
Oh, they get points there. Like, honestly, the voice cast, like having Ming-Na Wen, one of my favorite people, and obviously, like, listener, we watched another film with her. What was it? Street Fighter.
Final Fantasy Spirits Within. She was the voice of the main character in that.
Oh yeah, but also Street Fighter.
Was she in Street Fighter as well? Yeah, yeah, she I can't was. Remember. Yeah. Oh, of course she was. Yeah, she was Chun-Li. Yeah.
Well, that's funny. We both went 2 ways. So now you have 2 other podcasts to listen to, which link to this one. That's always fun. No, the voice cast, I was really, really pleased to have. Like, even Leah, there's a singing voice coming back. They didn't have Shang sing because they couldn't get Donny Osmond back, but that's okay.
Yeah, couldn't afford him, I guess.
But it's sad because it is like, see the animation. See, if it weren't Disney, it would be good. Like, it is good animation. It's just not Disney animation. It is definitely their intern team, you know, their lower team, their less paid team.
I thought, like, yeah, it's not terrible animation. I think the problem is it's definitely a step down from what was before. And I think the other issue I have is... there are moments where a lot of the backgrounds are actually really pretty. They've kind of got this watercolor vibe almost going on sometimes. There's a bit where the carriage is going along and you see the sun rising and reflecting off some water and stuff like that. And I'm like, you know what? Like, that is quite pretty in its own way. The problem is that compared to what we've seen before, it's actually quite bland and there's not a lot of life to those environments. A lot of them are totally stationary. There's yeah. not, you know, with the exception of maybe a single plant blowing or someone pulling a leak out the ground or something like that, there's not an awful lot of movement going on. And I also noticed that, for example, I think I'm correct in saying the temple that's in Mulan's garden, they changed, like, it looks the same, but they basically changed the location that it's on. Like, in the first film, like, there's a whole bunch of steps and things she runs up, and they are there present in this one, but it just looks like it's a lot closer to the house this time, and there's everything feels a lot smaller in scale mm-hmm. and a lot, like, shifted around. And I just kind of feel like that's such an easy, like, thing to not fuck up. Like, you've basically got the layout of her house. And I mean, we don't even know the whole layout of her house or anything like that, but there's enough there that, like, you could not completely destroy the semblance of realism that you're trying to create, or continuity that you're trying to create, rather. And yet they did.
I actually think you have something there in just the scale being smaller, because that's the whole problem. The scale, like, the first one was so epic. Like, you had the amazing soundtrack. You had the amazing, mm-hmm. like, the backgrounds. You had, like, the scenes were flooded full of people. Everything here is so empty and just phoning it in. Like, when you're going to all these little places, like, they're the only ones traveling this path. They encounter no one else other than bandits. Like, it's empty.
Yeah.
And even when they're in, like, the fucking temple at the end, like, they've clearly stolen some of the stuff from the first movie. They have stolen the, you know, the bit where the crowd's there. That is from the first movie. I reckon we can compare that and just say they stole a frame.
It's just like reused assets sort of thing. But just to, even again, just in terms of, you know, so there's not an awful lot of action in this film mm-hmm. in terms of, you know, like Mulan, you know, she's the brave warrior, whatever. Great. I think we see her training right at the start. And I think we see her in combat maybe once in this. And it's against like four or five bandits. But when you think, go back to the first film and there's that epic scene where you have like hundreds and hundreds of Huns coming over the snowy mountain and they're all running down there. And here you have a tiny ambush of like four or five people. It's such a reduction in terms of threat, in terms of, you know, like entertainment for the audience, in terms of investment, in terms of everything, really. Like, it's such a downgrade.
I know, all of it. Like, they fuck around with the characters. They make her character weird because she seems to be more like a in control, like, leader, but she was never that. She was kind of fumbling her way along, you know, like mm-hmm. that was the whole point. She didn't know what she was doing, and now a month later suddenly she's like, oh, general, I'm going to argue with you on everything you say. And like in the last one, she had never done that. She had done what she was told until she had to do the thing. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's such a character change. I don't like it. I don't like any of it. Even Shang being so shit at everything, I don't like it.
Yeah, I was a little bit miffed about that. Like, he's been reduced from, you know, China's greatest general, essentially, to, like, bumbling buffoon to some extent. And I feel like it's fine for Mulan to have a bit of assertiveness or, you know, whatever. That's perfectly fine, but you can't completely eradicate all of the character traits that were there before in the mission to give her that. And it does feel like a totally different character. You're right. It doesn't. There's just something not lining up with that.
The only thing that saves it is the voice acting.
Hmm.
And even then, I'm like, you feel like they all know what they're, you know, and they're like, oh God, we signed up for this.
Yeah.
Should we have? Should we have? I don't like it. It makes me really. So this is. I think this is. We're starting with one that's. I don't know. We're starting with an interesting one, because this is the one that's going to hurt me the most. Like, honestly, this isn't just unnecessary. This is painful. This was, like, the opposite of necessary. Not just
almost betrayal. Inflicted pain. Yeah, no, I get that. I think there's a lot here to criticize.
Should I start something small and simple before? Like, the fucking music. So, is it Jerry Goldsmith that does the original soundtrack? There's some soundtrack tracks that I listen to part of my daily routine. Like, see the short hair song in the first film when she's cutting her hair?
Mm.
I think that's possibly my favorite ever instrumental piece in the movie ever, because it's such a pivotal moment.
Is that the one that kind of gets quite epic and sound?
Yeah.
It's a bit like,
it's yeah. very synthy.
Yes, that I love that one. That's such a good track. Yeah, no, I know that.
That's my favorite ever track. And this one, and this in Mulan 2. all the instrumentals are just fucking melodies from the shitty songs they wrote for the song. Like, it's just like little reprises of I Wanna Be Like Other Girls or One yeah. Alone Is, you know, whatever. I don't know what the songs are called.
No, I actually wrote that was just the songs themselves in this are pretty grim. The music outside of the songs is quite forgettable. Like, it's just flurries of generic, generic Chinese sounding stuff, but like it kind of is. Like, it's just, but even then it's I guess Disney's perception of generic Chinese sounding stuff. Like, it's just boring and not really, it doesn't really add anything to what you're watching. And the very first song is one about how to be a warrior when Mulan's teaching the kids.
Yeah, that's number one.
And we're such a long fucking way from I'll Make a Man Out of You. Like, we're so far from that.
Well, if we're calling it Mulan's song, it, like, we compare it to Reflection, and Reflection's such an iconic song.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at least we got Leah back. I had a wee Google in the middle. Is that Leah? Yeah, it is. I guess. Why is she here? Come on. Come on, girl. You don't need this paycheck. No, not you do. You're not too good for this. But that song doesn't make any sense because she didn't really learn balance there. Like, Make a Man Out of You was just, you're learning, like, aggression and strength and, like, none of it was about, like, oh, we also need to be, like, Tai Chi soft. Like, I don't understand that part.
Well, I suppose it's the yin to, like, Shang Zhang, I guess.
Yeah, but that was never, like, a part. Like, it was never a plot point.
No, it's not. It's an accidental contrast, which if you wanted to add, you could put in there, but that wasn't what they intended. Like, it's just an accidental thing. And it's the other thing that it doesn't help it is that it's crap. Like, it's not a good song. So, you know, even if you did want to give it some kind of credit, it's still shit. So
it's funny because I think hearing this first song's what let me know I was in for a crap time when I was little. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh. So, okay, they don't reference any other song from the first movie apart from A Girl Worth Fighting For, and that's not a great moment either, to be honest.
Yeah, sorry. I agree. That is painful, actually, because they butchered the tune a little bit, like, just to fit words in. They kind of do that. It's not... I completely get that it's sung in the style of the characters, but so was the original one, and that sounded all right. This just sounds awful. Like, you kind of get the impression it was one take and done for some of those lines. Like, it's just... it's a little bit manic, and there's a real kind of energy to some of it, but, like, not a good energy. Like, just a zany, kind of wacky, aren't we... you know, you remember this, kids, join in, kind of feel to it, as opposed to, like, something of quality. And it is, it's sad, it was painful, like, we're just, it's been done dirty. I'm not a fan.
It's also only set only a month after, right? And it's like, like, these three guys are meant to be down on their luck already, and all they're thinking about is, like, you know, they've just saved China, like, they didn't join the fucking army to... I mean, I guess they say that they joined the army for a girl, but it's like, no, that was their motivation, not their reason for joining. Their reason for joining because they were made to. But, like, it's just funny that a month later, they're just all like, oh, we can't find any girls still. It just kind of reduces their whole fucking story.
Well, there's that, but also, you know, Shang, since, is still respected as this war hero. They played a huge part in the ending of the first film.
Mm-hmm.
And yet now we kind of find them lost in the wilderness. And, like, I get Shang was the general, but they did play a huge part on this. And now they're just off and, you know, oh, I know three people who could help. But, like, what have they been doing since? Like, nothing, apparently. Like, they've just kind of gone off and gone their own way. Like, it just feels... I feel like a better way to construct this narrative would to have... had those three characters be part of, I don't know, even make them like Shang's sort of guards or assistants or something to begin with. He turns up and they're there rather than them just wandering around the fucking town, you know, reliving their glory days of a month ago in song. It just feels like a terrible start to them.
It's like, he's the general, right? But why is he just like, what's he doing? Like, you know what I mean? I feel like after a war that big, because it was a huge war, like, my parents were nervous about taking me to see Mulan 1 because the war was so big and gruesome. And, like, there'd be other things to do. Like, it's not just, like, you defeated the main guy and now the war's over, you know, a month later.
Yeah. Yeah. Although, apparently, they left the ceremony or whatever it was at the end of the first film and that was it. Like, just never, we never heard from again until a month later when they were called up for this very important mission, which, speaking of, so the broad point of this film is that there's going to be a conflict between two parts of China, and as a result, the emperor thinks he decides there's 3 days to get free princesses to. I've already forgotten the name of the guy that they're trying to go to. Is it Lord Quinn?
I don't care enough to know, but yeah, right, let's go with that.
Maybe. Anyway, he's on the other side of this potential war, supposedly. If the princesses marry the sons or whatever that are on there, that will stop this potential war from coming. Now, it's the Mongols that are going to come and cause trouble. I feel like this plan doesn't make sense. Now, I get that there were arranged marriages done, like, both in China and, like, all over the world historically for this exact reason. But what doesn't make sense is that these arranged marriages were generally respected once they had been put in place. It wasn't a case of, let's rush them through with 2 days and once they're married, the war will stop. Because if you've got some Mongol defectors, effectively, I don't think they would suddenly have respect for these, like, arranged marriages that are in place and think, oh, well, we can't do that. I think if they're gonna, you know, invade, they're gonna invade. I don't think that marriage would stop that. Had the marriage already existed, perhaps, but it just seems, do you know what I mean? Like, I just don't think the plan makes an awful lot of sense.
It really doesn't. It's pretty flimsy. I don't understand. They've got this giant army and they've just defeated the Huns. So why is there even another, like, threat? Like, they've just proven,
yeah,
that they're capable of fighting. I would just start the war, to be honest. I'd be like, fuck it. Honestly, yeah. Like, fuck it. That'd be a more interesting movie. They just went to war.
Let it happen. We've got both Shang and Mulan. Like, fucking, like, let come and get us, bitches. Try and take us. So yeah, I feel like, I think the other problem here is that the film often, it does kind of rely on these do you remember this from the first film moments. So whether that's a girl we're fighting for, or Mulan's dad putting the flower in her hair, or even some of Mushu's lines are, like, they're slight paraphrases of lines that he said in the first film. There's too many of these moments that are just trying to relive past glories, effectively, and it comes off as lazy and often poorly implemented.
They also kind of taken this, you know, that song at the end of the first film, like, True to Your Heart.
Yeah.
I don't feel like Mulan said that often. I don't feel like her whole thing was she joined the army. Well, she didn't just join the army. She didn't join to fight the Huns or save China. She joined the army to probably die in battle to save her dad. Like, she wasn't planning on doing anything miraculous. She was probably going to die. And that was the whole point. That was, like, why what she did was so incredible and brave, right? But they're making it sound like she joined the army to follow her heart. Like, and I don't feel like she said that often in the first one, but that's all she kept saying in this was, I have a duty to my heart. I'm like, you never, like, what the hell? Why are you trying to make fetch happen?
Yeah, like, that's a real trivialization of what was actually going on there. Because it's not just she's doing what she thinks is right. She's willing to sacrifice herself for her family, but not only for her family, on a wider level, for her country as well. And she's willing to do something that's, like, illegal in the process to do it, but she's doing it because she thinks it's right. It's not a case of, oh, you know, my heart will guide the way. Like, it's very flimsy the way that they've kind of portrayed her character on this second part.
Oh, they really fucked their characters. Like, the whole one, the first film was, like, I think I did an essay, it was, like, feel piety or something. It's just duty, like, a duty to your family. It's just something you're raised with when you're there. And that's how you see that in the match. But it's just, she's just reduced down to this fucking, they make her a Disney princess and I hate it. Like, the whole point of her is she's not one.
Yeah, pretty much. Because she's just meant to be from a normal family. Like, she's not meant to be this I guess, figure that they're trying to portray her as in this way. The only way that she's allowed to have a little bit of stature behind her in that sense is that she's, you know, she's had the success from the first film that she has, in terms of obviously defeating the Huns. But that's the only reason that towards the end she's willing to put herself forward as a potential bride for the son of this neighboring state, effectively. Like, was she just a normal girl, she wouldn't be able to do that.
Well, going back, actually connecting to that,
mm-hmm.
if she were a normal girl, she wouldn't be fucking marrying for love either. She'd be getting married off to the best person the matchmaker can find for her so that her family can get some money. Like, let's be real here. Like, I don't know why she's acting like marrying for love's a common thing in this dynasty, in this place.
Yeah, I mean, it's really weird that the film pushes it in that direction at all, especially since the whole matchmaker thing was such a big deal in the first film. Like, it just completely, like I know we're meant to believe that her parents, they definitely have love for each other, but I think it's probably a safe assumption that they were probably in arranged marriage as well. Like, it's the idea that anyone is marrying for love here. And then she has the audacity to kind of try and influence the princess as, you should be marrying for love, you know? What do you think of this?
So there's a part when they're on a horse and she's doing a big dramatic sigh, and he's like, what's the face? I'm like, what do you mean, what's the face? It's what's the big fucking overdramatic sigh and the big pout? Mm. Like, I just have a duty to my heart. I'm like, why do you care that much about marrying for love? Like, honestly, it was never a plot point in your first film. You didn't give a flying fuck about this. Like, why are you trying to make her a big romantic, like, squealy girl, like, we're getting married, you've had one date, marriage time.
Speaking of marriage, though, and to tie that in with the whole matchmaker thing, not being funny, but like, Shang would be like such a catch in terms of status. Like, surely, like, the matchmaker's already got someone arranged for him as well, or surely, like, he would have some kind of arranged something, you know, were this to be real. I mean,
oh, Hero China gets to overcome all matches. Sorry, like, clearly, you saved China. She blew up a Hun, man, with a rocket.
Clearly, yeah. I mean, I know it works well in a kind of like a political sense within the context of this. You've got your general versus the woman who saved China and marry them off, great. But just on an individual level, yeah, I can't imagine him really getting the opportunity to do that. And they're like, oh, they've got engaged, as if like that kind of traditional meaning or that kind of, you know, Western Christian idea of marriage is existing in, what year is this meant to be in China? Are we like, is it like early hundreds AD or something like this? And they're just like, oh, he's got down on one knee and proposed, and she said yes. I'm like, I don't think that's how it would have worked.
Don't separate my OTP. What the fuck?
I'm sorry, but
no. Fuck off. Shang is the best.
I'm not saying they have to be separated. I'm just saying that, like, the way they've done it is weird. Like, they could have match made the two of them. The matchmaker could have stepped in and been like, yes, you two will be together or something, you know, like.
Yeah, maybe tried some tradition. But no, Western is the way, I guess. But may I just interject here and say Shang still, even though he's animated ugly at points here, yes, still would.
Fair point.
Original crush, I think.
I think OG crush.
The OG.
Speaking of way people are animated and why are you making that face, I really just want to mention, so I sent you a clip, was it last night or the night before, when Mulan's laughing at all the girls swinging their tail. She looks psycho. Like, the way that her face is animated, she goes cross-eyed at one point and she's just like, and her eyes are going in different directions. And like, it's just so the sort of thing that you would think some quality assessor would have picked up at one point. You know, like, why does she need to be like doing that?
There's no quality assessing here. They're just trying to get this out as quick as possible.
I know. Speaking of no quality, let's talk about that I Want to Be Like Other Girls song. So I think you, because we did do a little bit of messaging back and forth about this, and I thought you made a really good point, actually. So if you want to like take the lead on this.
Well, yeah, it's like you're in a repressed country. You're a woman in early like 8th century China, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't fucking going nowhere. You ain't climbing no trees. Mm-hmm. You're working to the bone and then making babies. That's your job. That's it. You're to look pretty, cook food, be gentle. You're not doing anything fun. So they want to be like normal girls. They want to be repressed and poor. They want to be like them, but poor.
Maybe not even look pretty. Get out in that field and start pulling out that wheat. Like, you know, like, it's so depending, like, other girls, they are literally pulling their own weight in terms of, you know, the harvest or in terms of whatever else, unless you're lucky enough to become the matchmaker or, you know, the tea server or the servant for some royalty. And so the princesses themselves, okay, they're getting married off. Just on that front, actually, I like that we've never heard of them up to this point, and yet we're expected to think that this carries... Meet my daughters. Like, this is meant to carry some, like, huge weight of significance, the daughters that we didn't know existed until, like, 2 minutes ago. Fair enough.
So I have three, and conveniently, you have three guards.
Oh, what are the odds? And they're all so similar. I wonder where this is going to go. Let's watch and find out, shall we?
I care about them a little bit. I only need you to guard them with five people. Like, they're okay. I don't need the full fucking army that I've just demonstrated that we have.
Yeah, clearly not. Bloody stupid emperor. But yeah, no, the princesses themselves, like, it's I'm not gonna sit here and say, oh, it would be so easy getting married off to someone else, you would have such an easy life. That would be crap. It would. It's just a different form of crap. Like, if you've got the choice between, you know, remaining a princess but getting married off to a different state and, you know, living a 40-year existence where you're harvesting rice, I don't know, fucking sign me up for marriage. That's all I'm saying. Like,
I know, because even Mulan's like an outlier. Like, Mulan is like more normal, but her dad was like a war hero as well, and for that reason she did live in a good house and she had the opportunity to get match made. Like, the rice pickers aren't getting match made.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, she's not like poor is Mulan. Like, even like when she steals her father's sword and armor from the, like, that would be expensive. Like, that wouldn't be some cheap shit. Like, that would be worth quite a bit in itself. So they're clearly like not a completely poverty stricken family.
No, like, they never, like, he wasn't going to war for money. He was going to war because he hit the conscript, like, he legally had to.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder if it's maybe time. We've done an awful lot of shitting on this. I think we should maybe say some nice little things. I have a couple. I don't know. Do you have anything that you liked in this before I...
I really liked that Ming-Na Wen and BD Wong were in it. That was nice.
Cool. That's a good positive. So there were a couple of little, dare I say, clever jokes in this.
Shall we try and guess one? Because, like, so you messaged me and you're like, try and guess which jokes I like.
Yeah.
There's one that I liked, and I thought maybe it was the one. It's the one where Mushu's like, don't you understand Chinese? Because, well, they're all speaking English throughout the entire film. I just found that really funny that we're just meant to fucking...
Assume. Yeah, I thought that was really clever because it places this... there's an expectation that the audience are smart enough to understand that because of the setting, while they're speaking English for our benefit, we're meant to presume that they're speaking, you know, Mandarin or Cantonese or something. And I thought that's really quite clever in its own way. So I really liked that little joke. That was cute. The other joke I liked was when Mulan and Mushu are on a horse, and it's when she's feeling sad about the fight that she's had with Shang. And Mushu says to her, do you need a little pick-me-up? And he hands her a modern-day Chinese takeaway box.
I knew it was that one.
I thought that was really good. Well, that was quite cute. So that's there's two jokes in this that made me chuckle. So it's not, you know, I mean, it's bad. Don't get me wrong. It's bad. But there's tiny little moments of, like, light that flicker through the darkness. So,
oh, the stakes have never been lower.
Yeah. Okay, do you want to jump in and say you're really, unless you've got any other good bits to add?
Is there anything good? Yeah, I was going to say, is there nothing else that's good in this film? All you can think of is two jokes. Some of the songs aren't that bad, you know, they're not that bad.
Okay, what was one of the better ones, do you think?
Like, Other Girls is catchy. It's not good, but it's catchy.
I don't know if I agree with that.
Atomic Kitten have a version.
Oh yeah, they sure do. So literally, I want to be like Other Girls. The note I wrote down was, and I quote, another tuneless song. So it really didn't sit with me, that one. But
I think maybe that's just because Robin and Jodie watched it a lot, and we found the way they sang, like, Holding a Lily, because they did a weird stereotypical accent. It matches really weird.
Yeah. That did make me laugh, I have to say. I thought that was quite, like, the fact that they would agree to do that as well was a bit like...
It was, some of the stuff was borderline racist, like some of the things yeah. they were doing in the film. I was like, ooh.
Yeah, there was a lot of little moments like that. Okay, fair enough. Actually, there was another bit I liked, but it's not because it's good, it's quite bad. Just when Mulan and Shang kind of storm off to go their separate ways, there's a bit where he says, one of them says, this assignment has made it very clear that we are very different people. And I'm thinking, God, it's almost as if getting engaged after only a month of knowing someone's a bad idea.
Like, I wrote that in my notes. That's what happens when you get engaged in under a month. Moo shouldn't even need to intervene. Like, that's what happens.
No, I know. Bloody hell. I thought that was funny, but like, so it's not good, it's bad, but it's, you know, it got a laugh out of me at least, so.
Okay, so one bit that I actually thought was better than the others, because it was like at mm-hmm. least memorable and kind of there was something there, was, you know, the bridge scene where, so there's a bit where they're dangling on a bridge and mm-hmm. Mulan's holding them both up and she doesn't let Shang go. Shang deliberately loosens his arm so that she'll live. And yeah. I'm like, oh, they almost did something there, you know, almost. They tried to recreate the feels of, you know, when they're in that village and everyone's been slaughtered and they discover the dad's helmet. That.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it's funny because them doing that kind of just showed how shit quality this was, because they didn't linger on it very much. Like, she was sad for a night and she's like, well, mission time. And I'm like, oh, I don't know about that.
Yeah, I mean, the problem it has, or the problem it kind of potentially has, is that once we think, well, they're not being funny, there's no point at which we think Shang's actually dead, because it's...
No, they immediately show him pop up from the war.
Well, they do that, but the problem we have is you've got the three princesses and the three guards and Mulan at that point. The princesses aren't taking the lead at all, other than trying to, like, you know, woo the guards to the extent that they do. The guards have made it quite clear that they're interested in the princesses more than they should. And they're willing to bend the rules, like, you're not allowed to talk to them. Oh, well, if I could talk to them, I would say this. There's no leadership there. And then you've got Mulan, who's really, really sad. So the option is have Mulan be really sad and then have no one who's capable of, like, leading the rest of the mission. Or just have Mulan kind of get over it all super quick and carry on. And that's what they go with. And I kind of feel like there's a way to get to the ending that doesn't necessarily involve you having to do either. It could have been that Mulan remains sad. I don't know, the Mongols come and kidnap them. They get taken to the capital. She then offers herself as a bride at that point, rather than her being like, right, off we go. I'll take charge again. Like, there's so many, I say so many, I've just offered one alternative and be like, there's so many offers. That's the only one I can come up with. So there's another alternative that could have happened there that gets you to the same place that would potentially make more sense and be a little bit more considerate, you know, narratively. But no, they didn't do that.
Or don't have the stakes be that high. If you want to have a dramatic moment, just have him float away and have her see him float away or something. And
I don't know.
Because it's just like, you think your fiancé's died. I know you've only known him for, like, I guess, I don't know how long the first film lasted, actually. Like, I guess that was maybe a year or so. But, like, you've only been engaged for, like, a hot minute. He's only realized you're a girl for maybe a month, like, and he's allowed to have a crush. Well, poor confused Shang having a wee thing for Ping for so long. Ping's never referenced in this, actually, on that note.
No, not at all. Interestingly, I that was actually just on that front. Actually, the idea that, you know, we can only be a couple if we agree on literally everything is reinforced several times in this film. Like, when the parents are watching them, oh, it's going to be a small wedding, it's going to be a big wedding, lots of children, only some children. And the dad's like, oh, they're very different. Like, as if, like, people who, like, get together agree on everything all the time. Like, it's such a weird take. Like, you're allowed to disagree with your other half.
To be fair, what I'll say is usually in this era, the girl would have just kept her mouth fucking shut and did what the guy wanted.
Well, yeah, I suppose so. But, like, even then, there would still be, you know, there would still be some differences. It's not like they're the exact same person.
No.
Like, even if she was super subservient, she would have her own thoughts on the matter. She might not express them, but she would. It's not like she's an extension of him in terms of mind, at least.
No, but she wouldn't have had the option of saying it. She just kept her mouth shut. That's what they're saying. Like, keep your mouth shut.
Hmm.
Disagree with your man? Don't say a word.
Yeah.
That's why this all this freedom and following your heart stuff's funny. Because the whole point of the first one was they were acknowledging that there was differences between men and women's roles in that time in China, right? Like, she's done something bad. Like, they were going to kill her for doing what she did. It's not like she did a little whimsical thing. Like, oh, they found me, you know?
Yeah.
I'm going to stab her to death. Like,
yeah, they were. And then he lets her go by his own code of honor.
Yeah, because she saved him.
She so saved him, like, yeah. Yeah, debt repaid, off you go. But we're leaving you alone, basically. So
it's been a month. She's not revolutionized. Like, she's gotten
anything.
Like, she's an outlier now. Like, she's now allowed to do what she wants. But for the most part, you know, you're not, if you're a woman, you're not doing what the princesses want to do.
Well, like, other than the fact that there's a generation of small kids that want to be like Mulan. Because they're, but like I say, and I say a generation, there's a small village worth, so small kids that want to be, or small girls that want to be like Mulan. But, you know, yeah, you're right. She's not changed an awful lot, really. So
they might want to be like her, but they're getting match made.
Oh, yeah, no, they're still getting sold off. Their parents need that money, so. Yeah, okay, right. Is it worth going on to your big no-no for this, then?
Yeah, okay, so it's kind of a mixture of, like, two things. It's the plot, like, the whole plot, but fucking Mushu. They have destroyed Mushu. I can see why Eddie Murphy did not come back, basically. Mm-hmm. They've made Mushu the villain of this. Somehow, and they've made him so fucking unlikable that I want him to fail. Like, the ending annoyed me because I'm like, no, fuck you, you're a dick.
That's, you know what, that's a really good point. He is more of an antagonist than the actual Mongols are in this. That is crazy. That is absolutely fucking wild. I never even thought of it like that, but you're right. Holy shit,
he's evil.
That's almost impressive. It's, oh,
because,
wow, okay.
So he wouldn't be the villain if this film was framed around actually trying to save China. But no, this film is framed around Mulan and Shang and the princess's relationships. Like, it's such a low-stake film. We're not saving China here. We are just romantically traveling down this road and being upset that we can't marry who we want to love. It's so reductive. I hate it. I hate it so much. But Mushu's whole thing is he doesn't want to lose his job. And he thinks he's going to lose his job because... he's no longer going to be the Mulan's guardian. He's going to go back to being the gonger, the gong man.
Yeah. So just to expand on that slightly, just so that we're, and our dear listener is all on the same page. So because Mulan saved China, Mushu got a promotion at the end of the first film, effectively. Like, he becomes a fully fledged guardian, right? And then, but because Mulan's going to get married to Shang, it's the husband's guardian that protects the family. Therefore, he's not needed anymore. Therefore, he goes back to waking up the ancestors, effectively. So that's the concern here, is that he's going to lose that privilege that he's gained in terms of, you know, the role that he and the esteem that he now has. And so it's a very selfish thing on his part. He would rather Mulan stays, like, single so that he can maintain his role. Which is kind of ironic, given that his role is meant to be protecting the family and he's actually kind of, you know, putting her in harm's way. You would think that him doing that actually flies in the face of the role he's meant to be doing and therefore would make him not suitable for it. No one questions that. That's actually a bit of the plot that's not really interrogated in any meaningful way. But, yeah,
No, because he's actively in the first film. It takes away all character growth that he's done, because he was a tiny bit selfish in the first film. He wasn't actually, no. He fucked up by accidentally breaking the statue of the actual guardian, and he's like, well, fuck, I'm going to have to go now. Like, he doesn't set out to, like, have a better position. And in the end, he's not, like, an arsehole. But at the beginning of this film, he's bossing around the ancestors and being a dickhead. I'm like, why have you done that? Like, he wasn't like that in the first film.
Like,
just undeniably selfish, terrible guy. All round cunt. Like, who makes Mushu a cunt?
Whoever directed this nonsense, I guess.
And the white guy doing the fucking Eddie Murphy accent.
Yes, it does sound like someone trying to imitate Eddie Murphy, as opposed to someone trying to play Mushu. Which I understand to an extent. There's a little bit of crossover there because he doesn't change his life. His life. He doesn't change his voice overly for the role, but it's. It's not someone trying to be Mushu, it's someone trying to be Eddie Murphy.
Yeah. And I don't like it.
Which I think is a problem. I also, towards the end, once Mushu's, you know, saved the day by pretending to be the Golden Dragon of Unity, and, oh, Mulan and Shang can get married. She doesn't need to marry the prince from the neighboring state anymore. Fine. There's a bit where, well, Shang becomes aware of Mushu, and everything's resolved because Shang decides to combine the temples of his family and Mulan's family into one, therefore allowing Mushu to keep his job effectively. So Mulan says that, you know, oh, I tell my husband everything, so it's fine that Shang knows about Mushu to an extent, but I don't understand how he knows about the politics of the ancestors in the afterlife and the jobs and things that, you know, they're meant to have. Points that, like, he's not dead. You know, how does he know that doing this will allow Mushu to keep his job? And he actively says, this will allow you to do it. How does that make any sense?
I guess because Mushu's told Mulan that on the horse, and then he's like, well, I guess if I just give you two guardians. I don't understand why that wouldn't be the default anyway, because surely having two guardians is better than one guardian.
Yeah, joining a family together, because suddenly you as a guardian, you've now not got one family to look after but two. That's a bit shitty.
Yeah, like, why wouldn't that be the default? Why would you have, like, oh, no, women's just joining? I'm like, no, fuck that.
You're
like,
bring her guardian too. Bring hers along as well, I suppose. Yeah, yeah, no, anyway, it's some poorly thought about, you know, afterthought that's just flung in at the end to try and create the semblance of a happy ending where they're, you know, needed not be the film in the first place, so.
No, but I didn't want to watch a film where Mulan and Shang, like, have domestics. Like, that's, I want to watch them, like, fight armies. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I'm not, I love their relationship, but only because I'm not watching them have it too much. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it wasn't the forefront. Like, their relationship wasn't their personality in the first film. I think part of the appeal of their relationship in the first film is the conflict that they have, because they're both honor bound. Like, Shang is a general, and he knows he shouldn't be fraternizing to an extent towards the end. Mulan's honor bound. She's there for her father. She's not doing it for love. Like, love happens by chance, but, like, that's not why she's doing it. And now here we are, you know, getting into the nitty bitty of, oh, aren't we so different? And it's like, yeah, but, like, does that have to be a problem? Like,
no, but, like, they weren't even, like, so in the first one, there was nothing with, like, at the end, he stays for dinner. Do you know what I mean? That's as romantic as they get. Like, they're yeah, like, they have a crush at the end, because he's realized he's allowed to have a crush on the male soldier that he maybe kind of liked more than the others. And she's like, eh, fair, you know, like, I don't have to matchmake anymore. I'm Hero China. I'm good. But yeah, I don't know. It's just weird dynamics. It just feels like it ruins the original film's ending.
I think that's kind of it for me. Like, aside from the, like, Mulan 2 betraying a lot of the character development from the first film, the story is just incredibly uninteresting. I mean, like, it has its moments, but, like, it's just very, like, mid to below mid throughout. It's just not an engaging story.
It underestimates how important that original film was to, like, girls of my generation, I guess, because it was, like, the first Disney princess film and one of the biggest movies showing, like, you know, you can do whatever not you can do whatever you want, but
yeah,
you are no less because you're not a man. You can still do things. And
even then, like, she's a princess in kind of, you know, quotation marks there, in the sense that she's not really, like, she's just a strong character.
Yeah, they plop her in the series just so they can give her merch, which I'm fine with, but yeah, she's not actually a princess, and I'm fine with
but
that.
But she's a step away from that kind of princess mold that they've been stuck in for a while, which, you know, until she's not, obviously, but, like, at least in theory she is. And I think that's it. Like, this does just feel like a betrayal of the original film, which I appreciate that sounds a bit dramatic, but
it is.
Yeah, it does feel like a betrayal to me anyway.
In every single way. You have Shang being incompetent, Mushu being, like, a traitorous wanker. You have Mulan, who's more about romance and love, and rather than saving her country and her family, you know, it just doesn't make sense.
No.
And a low-stakes plot, like, where we're not going to war, we just want to have an arranged marriage, and it's, like, a whole big deal when the whole fucking China's based on arranged marriages at this point, so it's just weird.
Yeah. It is weird. When, prior to us watching it this week, then, when was the last time that you actually watched this by choice, do you think?
Oh, I actively try not to. Like, I have no, I won't watch it again for a long time, honestly. Like, I don't like it. The original film, I've got a tattoo, listener, of the original film, Mulan, on my back. I love that film, so it's my favourite film, and I'll watch that. Mm-hmm. This just made me want to watch that, to be honest.
Because I had wondered, obviously, I presumed it would have been a very, very long time, but like, I can't imagine why anyone would choose to seek this out, you know, short of not knowing about it and therefore thinking, oh, there's a second one, and being hugely disappointed after the fact. Maybe with the exception of your sisters who liked it, apparently. Like, it just feels like there's nothing to come back for. It's just such an like, ignoring all the problems with the characters and all the undoing of the development and the rest of it, it's just such an uninteresting story. Like, there's just nothing here. For me, at least. And on that basis alone, you know, were you bored? Yeah, I was. Like, I was bored and frustrated, honestly. Like, just aggravated at points. Mildly amused at other points, but generally just pretty bored. Like, how would you feel? Like, bored probably doesn't do it justice enough for how you felt.
I couldn't say I was bored. I was, like, horrified, angry, upset.
Disturbed.
Disturbed, but I wasn't bored because I was, like, actively, like, watching it, anger watching it. Like, bored's an odd thing, you know? I have been bored. Yeah. I don't think I was bored, though, but I was very upset, and I will never watch it again if I can avoid it.
Yeah. So negative feelings all around then. I think that's a good place to end it there. Like, if for whatever reason you do want to see this, dear listener, it's on Disney Plus. I mean, have at it. We're probably the only people that have watched it this year. I wouldn't be surprised. Like, I can't imagine this gets a huge amount of...
They can't even be arsed animating or colouring it properly, so why should you be arsed watching it?
Yeah, exactly. That's a great way to end. Well, that's that then. So we'll be continuing our month of unnecessary sequels next week, looking at Chicken Run Dawn of the Nugget. So join us then for that. We'll see you then. Thanks for listening. We hope you've liked what you've heard. Want more? Follow us on Instagram at One of Us Is Bored. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Leave us a rating and listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Audible, or wherever else you listen to your podcasts.